So let us continue on with the day. Oh, so Valentine's Day, we've got to mention it, you know, have to, we're obligated because it's a holiday. As believers, we believe in God's love. And when I came in this morning, actually every Sunday morning for the last, several months, I guess, there's a mystery person who makes little crafts for us and puts them on our music stands and microphones and back at the sound booth and that sort of thing. And we've got a nice little handcrafted envelope that we can stuff all these things in once there's too many notes up here. And it's always an encouraging word. And this morning, the little message fairy gave us, our little angel gave us, God so loved Keith that he gave his one and only son. And I'm not just saying, you know, because God loves me and all that, but he loves us. And that is the beginning and the end of the entire gospel. I mean, in the nutshell. I had a friend of mine, Randy Murphy, who was a drummer in a band that I was a part of for many years. And we would give our testimony. We were at a youth retreat, and we were invited to play. So we go in there, you know, we start rocking out, wearing our skinny clothes and our wild hair. And at some point, we stop, and each one of us gives a bit of our testimony. And Randy, you know, had grown up in the church. He was a Lutheran. And, you know, he never did drugs. He never drank alcohol. He was just, you know, straight-laced. And he said, you know, the only verse I've ever memorized is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he was kind of embarrassed because me and the rhythm guitar player, Dwayne, were always like quoting scripture, you know, rattling it off. And he was like, man, you guys just know so much. And I'm like, so what? It's all up here. You know all that matters. You know, you're the one that knows all that matters and you live it out. So God loves us. You can put your name in there and we'll talk about that again. We've been talking about on second Sundays going through the notes of my tome, my opus magnus, soon to be published as soon as we get all this stuff done here. Been going through chapter by chapter on Set the Child Free. And last month we talked about the father wound, or the wounded child, and how each one of us, every human being on the face of the earth, at one point or another has been wounded. We've been wounded by our father, our mother, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, family, friends, complete strangers. We've all been wounded at some point, whether it be verbally, you know, psychological wounds, people saying you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, you suck, all that kind of stuff, or physical abuse, being beaten, you know, not just a little swat on the fanny, you know, for a little bit of, you know, correction, a little bit of direction, but actually, you know, being abused physically. I mean, we've all seen that kind of stuff. We went over some statistics. I put a graph up, and we looked at approximately 20% of all kids by the time they're 18 have experienced some form of serious abuse. You know, physical, sexual. There's sexual abuse. And healing is available. And I'm just going to read a little bit that I wrote here. The father wound may be deep or not. It can be something that's just really buried down. It can be a very deep wound. Or it could be something just, your wound might appear superficial to others who have what some people would consider as being a very deep wound. You might, you know, I might share my testimony and talk about that sort of thing, and you might go, oh, that's nothing. Let me tell you about what I did, or let me tell you about what's happened to me, you know, that sort of thing. And first of all, it's not a contest. We've all been wounded at some point in our lives. Each of us have suffered a wounding by our father, our mother, uncle, aunt, cousin, other family member, or family friend, or maybe at the hands of a complete and total stranger. So I shared a little bit about my own wounding last time, about being lied to by my mother. At that one point, losing all respect and all trust for any authority figure. It was like, you know, I don't trust anybody now. It's me and me alone. To thine own self be true. I didn't know that, you know. But that's the way I started to live. So anyway, at some point in my life, I came to the end of the self-medication and that sort of thing, and I cried out to God and said, Lord, if you're really real, if you're really out there, can you show me that you're real? And that next day when I went to work, there were three people that invited me to church. And I was like, okay. And the church was the next day. It was Sunday. So there was a 9 o'clock service at Grace Baptist Church. There was an 11 o'clock service at Calvary Chapel. And then there was a 7 p.m. service at the Salvation Army Church. And so I went with Bob, I went with Frank, and then later that evening I went with John. And just got, you know, hit by all of these different denominations, you know, three different groups and three different ways of sharing the gospel. And that was the beginning of coming around. But it wasn't until after Tammy and I got married that the Lord really began to work and bring this to me. Matthew 18, unless we change and become a little child. This is one of the most important aspects. This is one of the most important things for each and every one of us. Jesus was talking to his disciples. At the time, this is Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, we all want to have number one spot. You know, hey, I want to be the favorite. I want to be the best. I want to be the out front. We want to be special. He called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Some versions say, unless you change and become like a little child, you won't understand or perceive or see the kingdom of heaven. And remember, we talked about kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, that one is from the Jewish perspective and the other is from the Gentile, and each gospel would refer to it. You can go back and listen to it. Just a plug that we have podcasts up on them interwebs. You can go back and listen to a lot of different messages. Whoever then humbles himself as a child, or as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we've got to become like a little kid. Not childish, you know, but childlike. You know, if you've watched any of the debates lately, there's a lot of childish behavior going on those platforms as those guys are talking to each other. You know, some of it may not even recognize. You know, sometimes we do that as human beings. You know, we do that, roll our eyes, you know, that sort of thing, and just childish behavior, whatever. It's just funny to watch and see that these are the people that we're going to elect to be our president. That's as far as I'll go with politics. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. So that's got two things right there. Number one, we have to change and become like a little child. And number two, we need to begin to recognize that we can wound others. And that if we do that, once we recognize who we are, if we continue and we go down that path and don't break that cycle of wounding, it's better if we have the millstone. So we need to, you know, we need to come to a place where we don't wound others. And I do it all the time. I see it, you know, when I I judge people or I say things that I ought not say. But if I've been, you know, if you've known me for any period of time, if I do something, you know, man, it just gets on me. And I'll go and apologize as quickly as possible, you know. Or I'll act childish and go lock myself in the bathroom for 2 or 3 hours, you know. Even at this day and age, you know, nearly 50 years old, and I act like an ass, and then I go lock myself in the bathroom for 2 or 3 hours, and pastor and his wife comes over, and they talk to me through the door, and I'm like, all right, at some point, I got to come out of here, you know. And we just kind of work through it, and then I go, and I make amends to the people that I've wronged, and it makes the relationship that much deeper. So how do we change? Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how you will believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Where did I go? Oh, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And here it is, John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. See, judgment comes later. That's why we're not supposed to compare ourselves with one another. And we're not supposed to judge and condemn someone else because they've been wounded. And how they act and how they live and how they respond is because of their journey, where they've come from. Unless they change and become a little child, well, so it's on us, you know, to love and accept them and let them be on that journey. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. So we need to look to the light, you know, grace, like that light, his grace that draws us near. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So as we change and become a little child, we no longer judge. Okay, I'm being idealistic here now. You know, that's the goal. That's the end goal, you know. And we may not ever attain that here on this life, okay, or here in this life. But to love others, to not wound others, works that are made from God and no longer from our own flesh. Now here's something. My father-in-law gave me a book many, many moon ago after Tammy and I got married. And it's called As a Man Thinketh. And Dean and I told you about, you know, spending time with my father-in-law and him accepting me and loving me and giving his daughter to me. Not because he wanted to get rid of her, but, you know, for whatever reason. But He and I always talked about the inward journey. You guys ever heard about that? The inward journey, where maybe we've done something or we do something and we go back and it's like, oh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why didn't I do this? you know, or we'll be somewhere and there'll be something from our past that just comes up and, you know, we play the tapes. The Bible talks about it and says it's like we read a book, you know. So whatever technology was available at the time is what we, you know, now we play, I guess we play MP3s and MP4s and, you know, watch them on the on YouTube or MeTube. But as it was called As a Man Thinketh by or As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. And, of course, this comes from Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 through 8. And I've got this in the King James just because of the poetry. You know, I'm not a big fan of that just because that's not how I talk. But there's some beautiful language that's used and there's some depth within the King James. Proverbs 23, 1 through 8. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat. Okay, here we go. If thou be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of his dainties or his delicacies. Just a nice word. For they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Isn't that the truth? Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For he thinketh in his heart, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we have up here is what we do out there. So this book, As a Man Thinketh, by James Allen. It's a Christian classic devotional, and you can get it on Project Gutenberg if you're familiar with that online. Project Gutenberg. There's a lot of books, some of the great classics, a lot of different, you know, the ancient texts. Things that you can download for free or just read online. Project Gutenberg, it's really great. You can download them as PDF files and read them in your Adobe. LibriVox also has an audio version available that's free. And it's really a good book. And I'm so grateful that my father-in-law gave it to me all those many, many years ago. Here's a couple of quotes I want to read. Cherish your visions. Cherish your ideals. The way things ought to be. Cherish the music that stirs in your heart, the beauty that forms in your mind, the loveliness that drapes your purest thoughts. For out of them will grow all delightful conditions, all heavenly environment. Of these, if you but remain true to them, your world will at last be built. Here's another. Men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. So, you know, we look and we go, oh, I wish I could change this. But we're unwilling to change us. I've talked to so many people who are experiencing some things in their life, and they're like, I hate this. I hate this place. I hate this stuff. I'm moving. I'm going somewhere else. And then they go, and within a matter of time, it's like, man, I hate this place. I hate this place. I'm moving on. It's not the place. It's not where they are. It's, you know, it's not where we are. It's us. We're the ones that have to change. We have to change our attitude, the way that we think, and we're going to get to that. Right thinking begins with the words we say to ourselves. It's okay to talk to yourself. David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He had his little pity party. Remember with Bathsheba when the baby died, you know, he just cried out and cried out. And you know, there were times when he, woe is me, when he went out and he acted like he was crazy and ate the dust of the ground and, you know, he feigned insanity. Right thinking begins with the words we say to ourselves. You cannot travel within and stand still without. You can't take that inward journey inside. You can't travel within yourself, walk, you know, going down that road, taking that inward journey. And stand still without, outside, here. Whatever's going on in here, it's going to show itself out there. out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And let's see. Every man is where he is by the law of his being. The thoughts which he has built into his character have brought him there. And in the arrangement of his life, there is no element of chance, but all is the result of a law which cannot err. I just recommend that you find that book, As a Man Thinketh, by James Allen. Another book that's very important. There was a man by the name of Charles Horton Cooley, and he was a famous sociologist, and he was alive in the late 1800s, and I believe he died somewhere in the 1920s. But he came up with a lot of ideas. You know, he began to study transportation, and he was all about roads and the railroad and all that kind of stuff. But at some point in his life, he began to think about inner relationships, about people and cultures and that sort of thing. And he became a sociologist. And he worked on some of the backs of others, you know, the works that they had done. And he had come up with this thing that's become called the looking glass self. The looking glass self. And what that is whatever we believe the most important person in our life, whatever we believe they think about us, is what we're going to believe about ourselves. Okay? So if, let's just say for argument that our dad, our earthly father, is the most important person in our life. Okay? And we perceive that he hates us. Because he always says, you idiot, you moron, you know, you keep acting this way, you're never going to amount to anything. We hear that, and so that's what we perceive that he really believes about us. So we look in the mirror, and what our father says is projected back to us. And so that's what we accept. And there's everybody that's in our life is what makes us, okay? How we perceive what they think about us. It's the outward self. It's not the real us. Charles Cooley said in Human Nature and Social Order, it's another one that you can find online, I am not what I think I am, and I am not what you think I am. I am what I think you think I am. Okay, now let's wrap our heads around this one. I am not what I think I am. Okay, if I think I'm no good, if I think I'm, you know, incapable, if I'm not good enough, if I think I'm not smart enough, if I think that everyone else is better than me because I don't have a sheepskin on the wall, if I think that others who have more money in their account are better than me because I don't have much, if I think that your success is greater because I may see myself as a failure, you might not see me that way. Right? I'm not what I think I am in that state. But again, I'm not what you think I am. You might look at someone else and go, you know what? They're a treasure. And I agree with Horace about his summation of Larry just being a great guy, doing all the work around here that he's done and building up this place, you know, becoming a part of this family. So we, you know, we're not what you think I am. I'm not what you think I am. You know, it's like, you know, I'm such a dirty, rotten scoundrel. I'm such a sinner. I'm so bad that if you knew how bad I was, you wouldn't even be sitting here listening to me. But don't worry, because if I knew how bad and rotten and terrible you are, I wouldn't be here. You know, I mean, that's just... it's just the way it is, but it's not a contest, okay? I am not what I think I am, and I am not what you think I am. Here it is. I am what I think you think I am. So, I haven't talked to you, but it's like, okay, you know what, he really is. I think you look at me and say, man, he's stupid. And some of you are going to raise your hand and go, exactly what I think. You know, okay, well, whatever. Go on, keep on. So I am what I think you think I am. It's really simple. To me, it's simple. Might be as clear as mud for some of y'all. Here's an easier way. Whatever I perceive the most important person in my life thinks about me is what I will think about me. Philip Yancey has said, sociologists have a theory of the looking glass self. You become what the most important person in your life, your wife, your father, your boss, thinks you are. How would my life change if I truly believed the Bible's astounding words about God's love for me? If I looked in the mirror and saw what God sees? When Jesus Christ, after his baptism, remember, the dove comes, and there's a voice from heaven that says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is a moment before Jesus has fed thousands, before he's healed blind and deaf and mute, before he's delivered those who have been possessed by demons, before he has raised the dead, before he's delivered any messages, before he's ever done anything. The Father says, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Before he does anything. Man, I love my Son. I love him. He pleases me. Him just being right there. And he says, listen to him. Listen to him. Pay attention. He's got something to say. God looks at you, and he looks at me, and he says, remember, when God created all the stuff on the planet, the plants and the animals, when he created the universe, he looked at everything and said, it is good. But when he made us, when he made human beings, he looked at us and said, they're very good. Added that very good. You're not a loser. You're not a failure. You don't suck. You're not an ass. You are very good because that's what the Father sees. You are not what other people, what you think other people think you are. You are not that. You are what the Father sees. I am what the Father sees. We are not what the devil, what Satan would put on us. We don't need to listen to that son of a gun. Boy, that was hard. That really was. You know, I'm not going to actually sing the songs. But there are times, you know, and Tammy, I'm like, I'll sing songs about that guy, about what they all used to call old Slewfoot, you know, I'll sing about Screwtape and that's Wormwood and that, but I'll, you know, Satan is a blah, 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 and I'm going to blah, 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 right into blah, 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 you know, I just, why do we listen to that joker? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, how do we change? How do we change and become a little child? Remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I am not what I think I am. I am not what you think I am. I am what I think you think I am. Okay? Now, I am what God thinks I am. That's the place. He should be the most important one in our life. Right? We have to give up father, mother, sister, brother. We have to give up our family and come to him. We sacrifice everything. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? To develop our relationship with God the Father should be paramount, should be the most important thing in our life. Not the penultimate, it should be the ultimate thing that we pursue because he's pursuing us. For God so loved you that he gave his only Son that you would not perish but have everlasting life. That just doesn't mean living forever. That means an abundant life, right? It means a life here and now. It's not an eternal life that starts after you die. No, it goes back further than that. The eternal life starts in your mother's womb. The eternal life starts before your mother's womb. In Jeremiah, remember, where he said, you know, I conceived you. I thought about you. He knitted us together in our mother's womb with a plan and a purpose, not to harm, not to lose, but a plan to prosper us, that we might have an abundant life. And that word abundant, for me, I look at it, and I think of the word abounding, and I think of bound as being chained up, being bound, being held back, being unable to move, being hindered. And I think that word the prefix, as being not, like asymmetrical, you know, asexual, that sort of thing. There's no gender, there's no sex, you know, it's an asexual being. It's an asymmetrical thing. You know, it's all crooked and lopsided. There's no symmetry. So abounding, abundant, means without bounds, without boundaries. Okay, now, hear it out just a minute. That means his love for us is without boundary. And that life that he has for us is abundant. Now, yeah, there are boundaries. You know, all things are permissible for me, but not everything's beneficial. So we can do anything, but we have to look and say, okay, is this beneficial? Now, how do we become a little child again? How do we do it? It has to do with our thinking. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It's not really music. It's not singing. It's giving ourselves to him, our bodies, stuff that we do. That's worship. Living, you know, fully alive is the, you know, a man fully alive is the glory of God. So being who he's made us to be. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world put its image on you. Don't be conformed to it. Don't take the shape of the world. Don't, you know, to be nonconformists. We need to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To go through a transformation, to go through a metamorphosis. You know, think back to biology, you know, zoology classes, you know, when you were in high school. Think about the frog. It starts out, you know, from the egg to the tadpole, and then it goes through a metamorphosis. You know, at some point it can only breathe through, like, gills. It has to be underwater. And then it goes through a transformation. It goes through a metamorphosis where it becomes a frog. And it can live on land and it can breathe. Think of the moth or the butterfly or any number of insects that start out as the larva and the pupa. You know, some build the cocoon and they're in there for however long they're in there. And they go through a metamorphosis. They go through a transformation. That's us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It starts here. And we can know it all. I mean, it's hard to get it from here to here, right? That 18 inches, remember? Don talked about that last week. It's been something that's been brought up a couple times in the last month or so. So what are we supposed to think about? You know, oh, we think about NASCAR starting up. We think about the return of The Walking Dead on TV. We think about the Deadpool movie being out. You know, we think about Zoolander 2, or we think about politics, or no! Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's what we're supposed to think about. Paul wrote a letter to the Philippians, and he said this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, If there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Think on these things. Dwell. That word dwell, it doesn't mean just like, okay, well, that's pure. Yeah, okay. Well, that's true. Okay. Well, that's worthy. That's honorable. Okay. No, it says dwell on those things. To spend some time. To sit down and meditate on what is true. For God so loved the world. It's true. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Sit down and dwell on Him. He dwells in you. We dwell in Him. These things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We want peace. We need to think about the stuff that Paul told the Philippians. And I remember several years ago I heard an acronym. And you know, I've shared that with some of you and you might remember it, or maybe you heard it at some other point. But THINK. THINK. Right? Yeah. What do we think about? We think about whatever is true, whatever is helpful, whatever is inspirational, whatever is necessary, and whatever is kind. That's what we think about. That pretty much sums up what Paul told the Philippians. Now, how do we get there? One of the things that the Vineyard has really been about over the last few years, and something that we've spoken of here, is living in the middle of the now and the not yet. Not merely existing, but living abundantly. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is eternal, and he's the same. He doesn't change. Your love never fails. It doesn't, you know, on and on and on it goes. It doesn't change. He is now and he is not yet. He's now, he's here, he's always been, and he's coming again. Yesterday, today, and always, forever. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. We're God's children now. It's not about when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. You know, to live here or to be up above with the saints that we love, won't that be glory? But to be here below with the saints that we know, now that's another story. No, he wants us to have an abundant life here and now, and it goes on for eternity. When we're called home, or when he returns, whichever one comes first, you know, 10 years or 100,000 miles, whatever it is, whichever comes first. We are healed, we are being healed. This is about healing the wounded child, healing the wounded child, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace you have been saved. So you are saved. By faith, by grace, we have been sanctified. We've been made holy. We have been healed. By his stripes you are healed. We have been. I sure don't look healed. I sure don't feel healed. Well, you are. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, past tense, in which you stand, have stood, by which you are also saved, are being saved. If you hold fast and are holding fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So we are being saved. We have been healed. We have been saved. We are being healed. We are being saved. We are being transformed. How do we wrap our heads around this thing? The now and the not yet. And then we will be. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, that is, we were saved, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We will be. we will be saved. We will be healed. It's a process. Some wounds heal quickly. You know, you get a little sliver and you pull it out. And it hurts for a while. Hangnail, you take it off. It hurts for a little while, but it heals pretty quickly. Then there's other wounds that take a while. You know, broken leg. I can attest to that. It takes a while to heal. You know, the bone may heal, but as you've been laying there for a while, you have to go through some therapy, and it still hurts as those titanium pins and stuff, and the bone heals, and you learn, you know, how to do things all over again. And we've all been through some, you know, experience of healing. Some wounds go very, very deep, and it takes time. So as we become like a little child being transformed by the renewing of our mind, thinking about whatever is true, helpful, inspirational, necessary, and kind, as we think about ourselves, not the way we've thought about ourselves, not the way we think others think about us, but as we become like Jesus, having been baptized and hearing the voice of God, this is my son, this is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. God is already pleased with you. He loves you. Let him transform us. Allow him to do the work. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful that you dwell within us. Father, I thank you so much that you loved each of us here and every man, woman, and child on the planet now, and those that have been and those that are being born even today. For you so love the world, the people, that you gave your one and only Son, that you sacrificed Jesus Christ upon the cross for our sin. By his stripes we are healed. We've been forgiven of our transgressions. And Jesus, we forgive those who've transgressed against us, those who have done the wounding. Lord, the words that we may have heard in the past, the physical abuses, the sexual abuses, the spiritual abuses, using God and the Bible like some kind of a hammer on our kids, having heard, you know, oh, you're so terrible, you're so evil. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to receive the word that you have for us. Help us once again to be transformed, to go through a metamorphosis, to become like a little child, full of faith, full of wonder, full of delight at what you are doing in our lives. Help us to love those around us the way that you love them, knowing that you're working on them just as you are working in us. Holy Spirit, seal up these words today. Seal them up in our hearts and our minds. Help us to think on these things. Sometimes healing the wound, healing the wounded child, is more than just us thinking on those things. Sometimes it takes professional help. You know, it really does. Sometimes we might have to talk. You know, we need to surround ourselves with some counselors, with one another, to encourage one another as iron sharpens iron. But sometimes we need to talk professionals. You know, to someone that isn't so invested in us, who can be objective and listen. That's okay. There's no shame in that. None. You know, if you feel shame, I'm going to tell you right now, don't be ashamed of that. If somebody says something because, you know, you've sought professional help and they're calling you, you know, let me know. I'll beat them up. They'll need professional help. No, I won't really beat them up. I won't touch them. I won't lay a finger on them. I'll just call them names. nasty doo-doo head. No, I won't do that either. I won't do that either. So anyway, God bless you all, you know, really. God bless you, each and every one. And if you need prayer, if you need to talk, you know, grab me, grab Don, grab Sue, grab somebody, and we'll pray, you know. We'll chat, that sort of thing. So God bless you all. Have a great week.